Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. And just wanted to mention before we learned that today is the yahrzeit of a very dear friend of ours, Rebbetzin Miriam Lohan Brown, Gimel Siva, and in the Sham Shav and Aliyah Mechayel Achayel. We'll learn the Torah this morning, Le'ilui Nishmasa. So we have two ma'amorim that we're going to see today. They're different. The first one is along our topic of Midrash. And your copy has a front and a back. We're on the side that says letter Beis, about six lines down. Ayomer Berucha Ad La Hashem. So before we get into the Midrash, I want to cite three Pesukim that are in Megillas Rus that have to do with the Bracha. And that's what the Midrash that we're going to see is centered upon. Now back in Perek Beis, I'm not reading yet from our paper, I'm reading from Megillas Rus. So back in Perek Beis, it says there, this is in Pasuk Chaf, Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf. So Ruth has just returned from gleaning in the fields of Boaz, and he was very kind to her and very considerate of her, and she came back with a lot of grain for her and Naomi, that were both desperately poor. Vatomer Naomi, so Naomi says to Lekhalasa, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, Baruch Hu LaHashem, blessed is he to Hashem. So she's referring to Boaz, who of course is her relative. Asher lo azav chasdo, he did not leave his kindness, did not abandon his kindness. Es hachayim ves hamesim, with those who are alive and those who are dead. Vatomer lo Naomi, korov lanu ha'ish migo'aleinu hu. So Naomi said to Ruth, this man who is so good to you and so considerate of you, he's our relative, he is a goel, he can redeem our properties, and ultimately that would include Ruth as well. So that's the first time, the first pasuk there, and it says again, Baruch Hu LaHashem. Now, a little later in Rus, in Perek Gimel, and this is in Pasuk Yud, this is when Rus has gone down to the granary where Boaz is. He's been threshing his grain there. And it's in the middle of the night. And as we all know, it's a very mysterious type of encounter. A lot of questions about how could that encounter be. But nonetheless, so it was. It's a whole different topic. I do want to make mention of the fact, because it's important halachically, that this was a situation of yichud penuya tahora, that they were ended up in the same room together. That should be yichud. For us, that would be yichud. Now she's a single woman, and she's a penuya. I'm sorry, penuya, and she's tahora. She was also tahora at that time. She had been to the mikveh. So the Isser of Yichud, which is an Isser Durabonah, the Isser of Yichud with a Penuya Tahora, a woman who is unmarried and Tahora, that prohibition was not enacted until the time of David HaMelech. So in this time, when this occurred, that was not an Isser for them to be in terms of Yichud. She was Penuya and Tahora. No, she would. They were inside the granary. They were inside. That's where Boaz was. So we're inside of a building there. Now, nonetheless, of course, it's very questionable. That was the hashgacha. It should happen that way. But halachically, that was not usher at that time. That did not happen until a few hundred years later. David HaMelech made that isra yichud penuya tahara. So they're together there. And Boaz says to her, Mi'ad, who are you? Because it's dark, it's nighttime. And she says, Anochi Rus Amasecha, I am Rus, your maidservant. And then she says these words to him, Ufarasta kenafecha al amasecha ki goel ata. And may you spread your cloak upon your maidservant, for you are the Redeemer. Now the Mephorshim say what that means is that she was prepared to marry him at that point. Parasta kanafecha is like we would say spreading out a chuppah over a chasen and kala. That's what she meant when she said to him, may you spread your cloak over Amasecha, that she's prepared to marry you, to marry him. So what does he say? Our second pasuk with the bracha, Vayomer Berucha at LaHashem Biti. You are blessed to Hashem, my daughter, Biti. She speaks to her very nicely, gives her a bracha. Heitavt chastecha acharon min harishon. This later kindness that you're prepared to marry me, he's already an old man, as we'll see soon. This later kindness is greater than the earlier kindnesses that you did in your life. Levilti leches acharei habachurim imdal v'imashir. That you have not gone after to marry the young man, which be much more suitable for her, because she's a younger woman, whether he was wealthy, whether he was poor, it would be more suitable for you to marry a younger man, but you're agreeing to marry me, and he's quite a bit older than her. We'll see that in the Midrash. So that's when he says to her, Berucha at LaHashem. And there's one other bracha that we're going to focus on, although it doesn't use the word bracha. So later on in Perek Dalet in Ruth, the Goel, the first Goel, who was Ploni Almoni or Tov, he's the closest relative. He has a chance to buy the fields and then to marry Ruth. He declines. He doesn't accept the Psak Halacha, Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. Boaz had just paskened in public, he's a Godel Hador, to make it known in an official public capacity that even though she's a Moabite, she's a Moavis, because she's a woman, she can marry a Jewish man. Moavi velo Moavis. A convert male from Moav cannot convert in and marry a Jewish woman, but a convert female from Moav can convert and marry in a Jewish man. So that was made clear to all on that day. And nonetheless, Ploni Almoni says, no, I don't want to do this. And he's heavily criticized for that. And then Boaz, who's the next in line of being a Goel, he steps forth and he redeems the fields, which originally had belonged to Elimelech, Mahlon, and Kilion. Then they went to their wives, Naomi and Ruth. Now Boaz redeems the fields, and along with that, he marries Ruth. So at that point, there's a large gathering of people in the gate of the city, and it says in Perek Dal, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayumru kol o'am asher b'shar v'azekenim edim, all the people who were there and the elders, Yitain Hashem eso isha habo el beisecha karecha v'chaleya. May Hashem make that this woman who is coming into your home, Ruth, may she be like Rachel and Leah. Asher banu shtehem es beis Yisrael, that they built, the two of them, the house of Israel, va'asei chayil be'efrasa, and do great things, mighty things in Ephras, ukra shem beveis lechem, and call the name there in beis lechem, v'hi beisucha kveis peretz, and your house should be like the house of Peretz, that's his ancestor, one of the sons of Yehuda through Tamar. Asher yolda Tamar li Yehuda, min hazera asher yitain Hashem lecha, from the seed, the children that Hashem will give you, min hana'aro hazos, from this young woman. Vayikach Boaz es Ruth, and Boaz took Ruth, vatihilo li Isha, and she was a wife to him. Vayavo Eila, and he was together with her. Vayitain Hashem lo he rayon vateled bein. And Hashem gave her a pregnancy, and she gave birth to a son, who was Oved Avi Yishai Avi David. That's the source of David HaMelech's lineage. So all the people at the gate there, when Boaz is marrying Ruth, they give him a big bracha. May she be like Rachel and Leah, and it should be like the house of Peretz, and all these beautiful things. Now, just as an aside, all those people there, Boaz's family, what Shevet are they from? Yehuda. Who does Yehuda come from? Leah. So you kind of think they would say, Kaleah u'Karachel, being that that's their Shevet. But they said, Karachel u'Kaleah. They put Rachel first. So there's two comments on this. Rashi says, Karachel u'Kaleah, Afal pi shehoyu mi Shevet Yehuda u'mi b'nei Leah, even though those people were from the tribe of Yehuda, they were b'nei Leah, Modim heim al Rachel shehoisa yikara shabayis. They were motivated. They acknowledged that Rachel was Zacharias Habayis. That's an amazing thing on their part, that they put Rachel first. V'hikdimu Rachel Aleya. That's what Rashi says. Then the Evan Ezra says, a little differently, Karachel Uchale makes a comment on the same Nakuda, why are they saying Rachel first when they're all from Shevet Yehuda? Hikdim Barachel Ba'avur Shohoisa Eshas Yaakov B'techilas Machshavasa, because she was the wife of Yaakov, who was his first thought. He first wanted to marry Rachel. Love intrigued him. Therefore, he married Leah and then Rachel. So they put Rachel first because they were acknowledging that she was really the one he wanted at the beginning. So Rachel's before Leah. Now that's an aside. I just wanted to bring it out because I found it very interesting. Okay, now we're going to see the Midrash, and then we'll take some questions. Okay, that gives us the background. So letter Bays there in the handout that you have. Letter Bays. It's front and back, so if you don't see it on one side, just slip it over, it'll be on the other side. Six lines down. Vayomer berucha ad la Hashem biti heitav chastecho achron min harishon. So just as we learn, Boaz said to her, this is Ruth, and he's speaking to her now there in the granary, and he said, you are blessed to Hashem, my daughter. Your later kindness is greater than your earlier one. Rabbi Yochanan, v'reish lakish, v'rabbanan. We have a three-way machlokis here between Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, La'olam al yimna adam atzmo milelech etzel zakein levorcho. A person should never hold himself back from going to an elder person, a wise person, to get a bracha. Don't hold yourself back from seeking a bracha from a zakein. Why do you see that? Boaz haya ben shmonim shana v'lo nifkad. Boaz was 80 years old. Now we know how old he was. V'lo nifkad, he had not yet had any children. Now this follows the opinion that Boaz was not Ivtsan. Now we mentioned this before. Some say Boaz was Ivtsan. He was one of the Shoftim. Ivtsan had 30 sons and 30 daughters. So obviously that's not this opinion. This opinion says Boaz it was not Ivtsan. It's a different person. And Boaz was childless up until age 80. V'keben shehispalalav osa tzadekes miyad nifkad. But once he received a tefillah from that tzadekes, who? Naomi. Immediately he was nifkad, he was remembered by Hashem to conceive. Shenamar, as it said, the first source that we cited this morning, Vatomer Naomi Baruch Hu LaHashem. Naomi said to Ruth, he is blessed Hashem. So Ruth came back from the field. She has her grain. She has a nice amount of food for them. She explains to Naomi what happened. Naomi says, this righteous woman, she is old too. She's a Zakein. She's an elderly woman. So she said, Baruch Hu LaHashem. That was it. As soon as he was together with Ruth, they conceived. And remember, they were only together for one night because he died the very next day. So, and they conceived a child. So here's a man, 80 years, never has a child, gets a bracha from Naomi, not even in her presence. He's somewhere else. And Naomi says, Baruch Hu LaHashem, he marries Ruth. One time together, they have a child. So that's one. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the first one. As she says, Baruch Hu LaHashem. Now let's see the second opinion. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says, Ruth bas arbo'im shana hoisa. At this juncture, Ruth was 40 years old. So she is 40 years younger than Boaz. Quite a bit younger. V'lo nifkado. And she had not yet had a child because she and Mahlon, when they were married, did not have children. Now you can skip the next three words, they're not supposed to be there. Kevan Shenise Samachlon. The Kevan Shehispalel Aleha Oso Tzadik Nifkada. But as soon as this Tzadik, Boaz, was mispalel for her, he davened for her, so she too became remembered by Hashem and she conceived a child, Shenamar, because what did he say to her in the granary there? Vayomer Barucha at La Hashem Biti. Blessed are you to Hashem, my daughter. Boom. First time she's together with somebody, which is actually him, a short time later, She conceives after 40 years. Now, according to this opinion, the Mephoreshim point out, Boaz could have been Ibsen, that he had children, but she didn't. So she's 40 years old, she has no children, she gets a bracha from Boaz, she conceives, she has a child. Okay, that's two ways of looking at it. V'rabban and Amrin and the Chachamim say, Shneihem lo nifkedu, neither of them had children. Ruth is 40, she's childless. Boaz is 80, he's childless. Therefore, he's not Ivtsan, according to the Chachamim's opinion. Ella mibirchoseihen shel tzadikim. They were remembered to conceive from the brachos of righteous people. Which righteous people? All the people who stood there by the gate at the time of their wedding and said that bracha, or may you be like Rachel and Leah. That bracha, shenamar, as it says, I'll quote from what we just learned, Vayomru kol ha'am asher b'sha'ar v'zekeinim edim, and all the people there and the elders, they said, we are witness. Yitain Hashem es ha'isha, may Hashem make this woman to you be like Rachel and Leah, and continue, etc., with their beautiful bracha. He's 80, she's 40, neither have children, they're together one night and they conceive. So back to the original statement of the Midrash, that a person should never hold himself back from going to get a bracha from a zaken. Because look what happened here. Any way you look at it, somebody got a bracha from a zaken and they were able to receive that bracha and have children. So those are the three opinions here, and they all revolve around a bracha. Now we'll just finish up the last part of the Midrash here. Heitav chastecho achron min harishon. So Boaz says to her, when she's prepared to marry him, and she says, you will spread your cloak over me. So he says, your later kindness is greater than your earlier kindness. Now, let's just see what that means. If you take a look, move over to the side of the page in the Eitz Yosef, and let me just find it there for a minute. Let me finish it first inside, then we'll go over to the right side. Okay, so back to the Midrash. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says, Ho'isha oheves bochur miskein mizakein asher. A woman, meaning a younger woman, would prefer to marry a young man who is poor than an old man who is rich. So she's 40, and the Chachamim say she was beautiful. They say Ruth was very beautiful. She could have easily gotten married to a younger man. And here's an 80-year-old man, and she marries him. Why? L'shem Shemaim. What was L'shem Shemaim? She wanted Machlon's neshama to come back into the world, this Yibum type of relationship, and come through her, and that, of course, would be end up as the ancestor of David HaMelech. So that's what he says to her. What was her first kindness that she helped when Machlon and Kilion died? We'll see that in Mephoreshim. She helped out a lot there. So this kindness, that you're willing to marry somebody twice your age, that's even greater than the initial kindness that you did. He's old, but he's wealthy. Sorry, the Chachamim say, a younger woman would prefer a younger man, even if he's poor. Okay, now take a look at the Eitz Yosef, where it says, Oheves Isha Bocher Miskein. I'm sorry, I didn't number it. It's about halfway down the right side of the page in the Eitz Yosef commentary. If you see that squiggly little line on the far right, it's about 2-3 lines below that. Oheves Isha Bocher Miskein. Ritzono Lamar, this means to say, Kasher Ra'a Boaz Kol Kavanosa, when Boaz saw that her intention was Ligmol Chesed Im Nefesh Machlon Hameis, she wanted to do kindness to the soul of Machlon, her first husband, who had died. Omar La, so he said to her, Brucha At La Hashem Biti, blessed are you to Hashem, my daughter, V'hinei At Osis Chnei Minei Chasodim, you did two different kinds of kindnesses. They're both very outstanding. Echad, what was the first? So back then, in the fields of Moab, when she married Machlon and Machlon died, they didn't have anything. They were poor. So he would have been buried without any clothing. And that would be considered a bezayon. It's a bezayon to the mace to be buried without clothing. Not respectful. Shenitpalta betachrichehen, that you involved yourself to make sure that they had tachrichin, burial clothing. Big mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah to make sure that a mace is buried with proper kavod. And the Midrash earlier mentioned this. So that's what he meant when he said, your first kindness to who? To Machlon, who was her husband. V'hine ha-chesed ha-hu ha-yachesed she'asasa im guf ha-meis she'lo yikaver arum. That chesed she did with the body of Machlon, to the body of Machlon, that he wouldn't be buried unclothed. Amnam zeh ha-chesed ha-acharon she'at rotze la'asos imi. But this later kindness that you choose to do with me, to marry me, who yoser tov v'chashu min ha-chesed ha-rishon, it's even greater than the earlier kindness. Ke-chesed ha-rishon hoya im gufo v'zeh ha-chesed hu im nafsho. Because that first chesed was with Machlon's body, and the second chesed is with his soul. Remember, what's going on here is that the neshama of Machlon is going to come back in through Ruth and Boaz. That's what the Kabbalistics for him teach us. I'll get to just one second. B'masha hinachta mileches acharei habachurim, that you set aside being married to a younger man, which you could have, ulihinasei lebocher, kiyoser tov hayolecha ulihinasei lebocher, because it's nicer for you, it's more of a relationship to be married to somebody who's closer to your age. Afilu sheyihi yadal, even if he's poor, milihinasei lezaken ben shmonim shana, than to marry an older man who's 80 years old, twice her age. V'zehu imdal dika'amar. That's what he said, whether rich or poor. V'kol shekein im ha'yisa rotze lihinase lebachar, ha'yisa motzeis bachur, that probably is Ashir. You could have found a wealthy young man too, he says to her. V'shamar v'imasher, v'zeh l'rov yofiyech v'chashiv v'seh, because she was very pretty and she was a woman of stature. Vim kol zeh hinachta hakol levilti leches acharehen, ubasa etzli bishvil shani goa. You left all that in order to marry me because I'm a goa, meaning I'm closer to your family, and that relationship in terms of bringing Machlon's neshama back is much more doable through him, who's a member of the same mishpacha. Ve'egol nefesh hameis, so I will redeem the soul of the meis. Ve'im kein, therefore, Heitav chasdeich zeho achron shu'asis imachlon min ha-chesed harishon shu'asisa ima. This chesed, this later one, is greater because it's going to benefit his neshama than the earlier one which benefited his guf. He says that from the Igeres Shmuel, you see that in parenthesis. That's one of the earlier primary meforshim on Megillas Rus, is the Igeres Shmuel. Aviva, you had a question or a comment? So this is a very difficult question, right? So let me say out this machlokus amongst the Chachamim and the machlokus between Rashi and Ibn Ezra, the same machlokus. Some say that Ruth and Orpah were not converted. And when they married Machlon and Kilion, it was an intermarriage. It was an Aveira. And therefore she converted later when she's walking back with Naomi, and Naomi is asking her certain questions. And Ruth says to her, Amei Chami, your nation is my nation, your God is my God. Her conversion is happening later. Now that's one. Second opinion is, they converted. That Ruth and Orpah converted. Now, therefore, it wasn't an intermarriage. Okay, that makes us feel better about what happened. But it creates a very big kasha. Why did she have to convert later? Why did she need to convert again when she went back with Naomi? She's already Jewish. Big question on this opinion. Okay, you got right on the mark, Aviva. It was not the best conversion. That's what the Mefarshim say. It was not a lechad chila conversion. Most likely she was converting for the sake of marriage. Now, b'di'eved, that passes muster. It's a kosher geirus b'di'eved, but it's not a kosher geirus lechad chila. So she's Jewish. Now she's coming back with Naomi. Now she's got to do what we would call nowadays a giyur lechumra. We call that an upgrade. She's got to get a more orthodox conversion, and she therefore converts again a little later.
Okay, so my understanding was that she was not Jewish when she married him. And if that's the case, why would the halachos of Hebrew be necessary? If she was a goya when she was living with him and married him,
Right.
Then all of this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a very good question to which I don't have an answer. I don't know why that would possibly be the case. Now, there is an idea, you know, that there's a concept. I'm just speculating now because Aviva's question is very good. There's a concept of Zera Yisrael. And Zera Yisrael means that a person who has a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. They're not Jewish. But there's something very interesting about this person, which comes from a psak from Rebbetzin Diskin's father, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, famous psak. That in general, when it comes to conversion, we don't encourage converts. As a matter of fact, if someone comes forward to convert, initially we push them away. Have to make sure they're very serious. However, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he paskened, if it's Zera Yisroel, if the father is Jewish and the mother is not Jewish, and they express a desire to convert, you don't push them away. There's a little something there. You don't push them away. So I'm thinking maybe using this as a springboard to Mrs. Isby's question, maybe there was a little something there. Yes, the child, if there was a child, wouldn't be Jewish. She's a non-Jewish mother. But perhaps the fact that they were together, that there's a little something there, enough of a something that if Yibum happens, that neshama will be expressed. This is a complete educated guess on my part, and I'm not sure if it's MS, but I want to put it out there. That would be hard to see why that would be necessary. Sure. Rebbetzin, you had a comment or a question?
Yeah, I had a question, but I wanted to say something about that.
Yeah.
I'll just forget that.
Okay.
So my question is on the, we just had this in the Parsha, the redeeming of these fields.
Yes.
So what happened there? These fields belong to Naomi's husband,
Elimelech.
And then they would go down to her children. They died, and then it goes where?
Okay, so this is a very big topic of discussion. How does Naomi and Ruth have ownership of these? How do they have ownership of these fields? So they belonged initially to Elimelech, and then after him, to his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and then they died. So where should they go? They should go to male relatives. They shouldn't be belonging to Naomi and Ruth. That's not how the path of Yerusha goes in Halacha. So some Mefarshim say that being that those two women were impoverished, that Mahlon and Chilion had promised to their wives property in lieu of a kesuva payment which they couldn't afford to pay. So when they died, all that property went to Naomi and to Ruth, and probably to Orpah, but it seemingly she relinquished it. And therefore they have rights as a settlement of their ksuba. That's how they got that.
Okay.
And if Ruth wasn't Jewish, going back to the other question, why would she have rights to a ksuba? So the Mefarshim say that nonetheless, Mahlon wanted her to have rights as a married woman because he didn't want to leave her impoverished. So that Ruth and Naomi came back land rich, cash poor.
Okay, so what does it
That's
mean?
How it went, worked.
So what does it mean that their fields were redeemed? So did they sell them for money? They didn't have money. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so yes, they sold them. They got money for them.
So do we know who they sold them to? Who
Boaz.
They were redeemed from Boaz?
No, Boaz got him. He bought him. Boaz got the fields, and that's considered redemption because now they're in the same Shevet. Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, they're all Shevet Yehuda.
Oh,
right, so if Ruth marries that person outside of that Shevet, which she could have, she can marry whoever she wants. Now, those fields that she had, if she would die, would go to her husband. Perhaps he was not Shevet Yehuda. So he's redeeming those fields.
So they belong to them.
They belong to Ruth and
Naomi.
They
don't have any money.
They don't have anything. They don't have any money to work their fields.
They're just fallow. They're fallow lands.
Right.
And he's basically purchasing them from them.
Right. Boaz buys the fields from them, but they made an agreement. Ruth's agreement was, you can buy the fields, but you got to marry me too.
So I don't understand.
That was her agreement.
Redemption, because do those lands revert back?
No, they're his.
They're his. They'll always be his forever.
Yeah. No, in terms of Yovel, where they would go, I would assume he keeps them because the original owners who were men are dead. I'd assume he keeps them, but I'm not positive.
I think in my mind, the idea of a redemption is you sold your land to someone who they really shouldn't be in their possession, so right. somebody in the family comes and gives money so you can get
right.
back.
Right. So this land could potentially have gone to another Shevet had Rus married somebody else. Okay. So there would go well because they're keeping the land not only within Shevet Yehuda, but they're either first cousins or uncle and nephew, Boaz and Elimelech. They're mamish closely related to each other. So that's the fields really are just where they need to be. That's already in the direct line of Yerusha. So that's a very good thing.
So the question about this question
yeah.
is then, if she converted
before they married,
uh-huh. number one, she may be converting in order to get married, but also she's converting thinking that she can marry. And really, at that time when she married him, the halacha was that she could not have married him, as we learned in the other class,
right.
that she was convertible, but not marriageable.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe then that puzzles the Gerus in a certain way because she's going into it thinking she can marry a Jew. Now he dies and she's prepared at this point to become Jewish without any prospects for marriage.
Of marriage, right. So she's perhaps relinquishing that. She converted, but she as far as she's concerned, she may not be able to marry anybody until it's understood that Mo'avi velo Mo'avis.
So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Retroactively that could puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it does puzzle the conversion. I don't know, but perhaps it creates a question on it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yes, please, Elka.
How did Boaz know about that original kindness about the Tahor?
So I'm assuming that they heard these things. You know, this communication going back and forth, they're part of the same family. And he is Naomi's, you know, first cousin or possibly her uncle, according to one opinion. So I'm assuming that they heard this. You know, people were talking about it. And we know that when they came back, when Naomi and Ruth came back as paupers, that everybody was talking about it. So there's conversation going on about these people.
And mm-hmm. also, the kindness that Ruth did for Naomi seems much greater than sowing those tachrichim.
Some people say that's what it is. Her kindness to her mother-in-law is what he's talking about.
Going back and forth to the fields, staying in the fields, hot fields every day.
Right, most definitely.
Much harder.
Yeah, and a lot more work. Yeah,
and
a lot more effort.
Also, if she wasn't Jewish at the time, how did she
at the time she got married?
Yeah, okay. How did she even know that she should do something like make the tachrichim?
She has a very religious and devout mother-in-law. Yeah.
No.
Naomi was teaching her everything. They had a very, very tight, very close relationship. You can see the hashpa'a that Naomi has on Ruth.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you think, if she wasn't Jewish, would you think that Naomi should do it herself? Like, is that anything that a Jewish person should make the tachrichim rather than...
Another good question. So perhaps, I'm just also offering a teretz, that she paid for it. And maybe Naomi made it. But it doesn't say that. And it certainly would not puzzle the tachrichim if they were made by a non-Jew. They're not puzzle, you know.
No.
Certainly better to be made by a Jew. Yeah. Okay, one more question. Yeah, please, yes.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about the converting. Orpah, I thought, went back to her family.
She did. Well, the question is, did she convert when she married Kilion? Before she went back to her family, did she convert? So some would say yes, and some would say no.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but Yashika, we're going to take a look at one other mimer. Okay, yeah, please. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was his name. Tov was his name.
Like
me and Hashemayim, right?
That
he should have been called something else, right?
He would have called something else, right. The Megillah itself would have just called him Pliny Almoni, and we would never have known that he was Tov.
Right, so the question is, Imi Golech Tov, that's what Boaz says to Ruth. If he redeems you, That could mean, if he redeems you, then good, Tov. Then his name was not Tov, it was Ploni Almoni. But if he means Im Yigolech Tov, if Tov redeems you, then his name is Tov. So we're not sure. And maybe that kind of answers your question. Maybe he's Tov, maybe he's not Tov. Maybe that answers the question, a little questionable there.
That's a lot of questions or answers. We don't know the answer.
Right. Okay. Now, there's, you want to flip it to a different track? Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to do something on Shavuos as we're